Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of Bare Belief. I'm your host, Gabriel, and I'm here with my other host, Jessica.
Yes, I'm here too.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Gabriel.
How's it going?
It's going okay.
It's going okay. Well, okay is better than bad.
But it is bad. But you know what? It's Tuesday after a long weekend.
All right. So we are recording. Our last episode has been released now for just over 48 hours or just around 48 hours. Things are going well. I'd like to, again, thanks everybody who has listened to us. We really appreciate it. Keep listening. And hopefully we'll have something more for you in the coming weeks. So today we have decided, since it's coming into that period where we're getting etching closer and closer to Christmas time, that we would talk about Advent. And I think maybe we could take a look at what it is, what it means.
Yes, getting ready for Christmas is more than Mariah Carey on the radio.
Oh, thank God for that. Because honestly, if we could eliminate Mariah Carey from the radio,
it'd be okay.
It would be okay. I am
Wham bombed, like,
oh my God,
from that one as well. Like,
I'll take, you know what? I'll take Wham. I don't mind Wham. Mariah Carey, I know I might not make any friends by saying this, but that the Christmas thing, right? Mariah Carey Christmas thing is too much for me. I can't. It doesn't put me in the Christmas spirit.
Well, and I think that's what's important to talk about Advent, right? Is that there's sort of all these expectations around the holidays, and we get overwhelmed, and it can just totally make us frustrated with the holidays because we're anticipating the drama and the family and all of this stuff versus where we should really. Or what should we really be focused on in this time?
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's why I thought.
It's like people have lost the plot a little bit, you know?
Yeah, it's not about making sure you have the turkey and the presents and the wrapping and the, you know, everybody's happy and all of that. It's a time of getting ourselves ready. So in the church, it's the first season of the year. We celebrate the new year on Advent 1. And
the new year. So the Christian year begins.
In Advent.
Okay.
Yeah. So not January 1st. And so it's never like one day. The calendar's planned, honestly, with moons and 40 days, and it has these wonderful formulas and whatnot. So it's never the same day. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of when Advent one is, that's our new year.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Interesting. So what is the significance then of Advent?
So Advent is 4 weeks prior to Christmas, and it's the time to get ourselves spiritually ready for that miracle of Christ's birth type deal. So it's the reason for the season, as they say. And a lot of times you'll see the wreath with the 4 candles, 3 purple, 1 pink. That all has symbolism within it as well. And we light each week a new candle. And then there's the big white one in the middle, which is the Christ candle. So that's sort of like his birthday candle. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. But you know what I mean? Like that's, hey, we finally come to Christmas Day.
Okay. And so I see it. So at least when I was, my understanding of it is the kind of like the preparation to lead up to Christmas. It's kind of like in anticipation to Christmas. Is like each one of these weeks you have that candle that you light in church, and then I don't remember specifically like what each one was like what is the significance behind that symbolism.
So for me, the Advent candles are promises that we have in Christ, or in Christ's messages, in his teaching as well. So it is peace, hope, joy, love. And I think I said that in the wrong order. Hope, peace, joy, love is the right order. And so, yeah, so it's sort of, you know, taking time to reflect, like, where is hope in my life? Do I have hope? How do I kind of get that back in my life if I don't have it? What does peace mean to me? What does joy mean to me? What does love and all of that? Like, because for me, and why I say it's about promises, we always kind of do Christmas and then we jump to the end of the story of Easter and Jesus dying and coming back to life and yay, you know, all of that sort of reconciliation stuff, which is, yes, important. But we have all this life lesson and messaging in between that. And I think we forget to reflect on those things. And it comes right at that beginning. Yeah. So for me, it was sort of those teachings and messages are to help me bring in these four elements. And that's what I reflect on every year. How have I done in this? And it's actually turned for me into my boundaries. If this isn't bringing me hope or peace or joy or love, then I got to reflect on if I want to do it. That doesn't mean I don't do the hard stuff and have to go through trials and tribulations. But for my personal decisions and my interactions, if this is my goal, then how are my decisions and my interactions reflecting that? So if you just go in on a Sunday, light the new pretty candle, or, oh, yay, it's my kid's turn to finally get to light the pretty candle, and then we all go home and then bake cookies and all of this, we can get detracted from, again, what is all of this about? For me, Christmas is a horrible time. We had a lot of family trauma happen over the Christmas season. My dad had passed away. My parents got divorced. So I don't like Christmas. It's not my cup of tea, as they say. So I don't want anything to do with it. And so this bishop I was speaking with had said, you know what, it's not about getting prepared. It's about anticipating, right? Like, what am I like wanting to get ready for? And that comes into my sports world as well. Like, I played rugby for 20 years. And we have to anticipate. Like, we have to be ready for that pass. We have to, you know, be aware. So it's a time to bring a consciousness into this. So yes, we bring in prayers. Some people celebrate with what's called a Jesse tree. And that is sort of a normal branch, and it goes through the whole history and lineage of Jesus. So again, making more time to kind of reflect and research and do all that stuff.
It's interesting because I kind of feel the same way about Christmas. Christmas is one of the times of the year that I just don't like Christmas time. It annoys the crap out of me. I find and it's almost a cliche at this point to say that, like, it's been commercialized, but to me it feels like it's not just been commercialized, it's been like usurped by capitalism in a way that it's become about, it's almost a show of Christmas. Like, it's no longer just the gifts, it's about getting the best gifts and being, and because I find of social media and all of these extra, it's also now about the performance of Christmas. Like, it's not enough to have a Christmas tree and it'd be pretty, but you have to have the best Christmas tree with this year's latest gadgets and the newest LED lights and the best things, the best decorations on the block. And it's so far removed from that whole thing. And the other aspect of it, as I find, is that the hallmarkization, if I can call it that, we all know about these like Hallmark movies and like, of course, like Hallmark, the greeting cards, and they have, they've romanticized Christmas.
Right.
And this is like where my big issue with the Christmas season lies, is with this romanticization of Christmas. So everybody's trying to have their Christmas miracle or their Christmas this and their Christmas that. And it's like, that drives me bonkers. Like, it drives me crazy. I had a conversation with a colleague. It was last year, right before Christmas, she was telling me that she was dreading Christmas because she was going to be alone on Christmas Day. And I told her, I said, that could be your greatest gift. And she was like, well, Gabriel, what do you mean? I said, well, I live over 1,000 kilometers from my parents' house. I have no family here. So, and it's not always possible to go home for the holidays because, you know, you get X numbers of days off. It's, you know, it's a plane ride away or a 12-hour car ride. Like, and you can't always do that. And initially, you go through these motions on Christmas Day where you're by yourself on Christmas Day. And we've been sold this romantic idea of what you're supposed to do on Christmas. So what I told her is, like, I've learned over the years that Christmas is something else for me. Like, it's no longer about this Hallmark, sold, idealized, light snow falling outside with the fireplace. And, like, the reality is I think for most people, that's not what happens. And you end up full of anxiety or disappointment or loneliness or guilt, or like, it's just, and then it's no longer about what it's supposed to be. So my advice to my colleague when we were talking about that was, like, make it your day. And so to me, Christmas over time has morphed into a day. Like, if I'm not with my family or if I'm not celebrating with whoever, I turn it into, like, in recent memories, one of the things that stick out is there was one Christmas morning where I was up super early, and it was one of these Christmas mornings where there had just been a light snow that had fallen. And at the time I lived downtown, and I thought, you know, it's 8 in the morning, Christmas morning, sure, I'll go take a walk. And I went for a walk downtown Montreal, Christmas morning, it was 8 o'clock, and I'm walking on St. Catherine Street, and there's nobody around. And it's super quiet, and I can hear, like, the crispiness of my feet walking through the snow. And I can feel the light snow, the flurries coming down. And it was this beautiful moment. And, you know, it ended up being this magical, kind of almost spiritual day where I was, like, taking it all in and being thankful for my life and everything that was happening. And it was, like, this beautiful moment. To me, that is just as valid as any other Christmas moment or Christmas thing you can experience. And that's what I was telling my colleague. You need to find the Christmas that is the gift to you to make that day what it needs to be. Because she was telling me also about difficult family situations and blah, 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 and all these things. And I was like, it doesn't matter. None of that matters.
No.
None of that matters.
So, like, I think, so after all our family trauma, my mom and I decided to not have family traditions. And so I married into a family that my mother-in-law could plan to the second what was going to happen every given time. And, at first I thought that was kind of cool. But then 15 years later, you're like, yeah, no, I'm whatever. You know, like, that's enough of that. But again, I think that's where, like you described, a moment of peace.
Yeah.
Like even just watching you sort of share that story, like, you could just see the sort of peace come on you. And so for me, I know we're sort of jumping one, because I think sometimes peace is a little more easy to talk about than hope, right? Like, what are we hope for? Like, there's a lot happening in the world, let's be honest. But sort of my favorite time is, yeah, I always leave things to the last minute. So it's like, and we have all those extra services. So I'll come home, midnight mass, and then if we're somewhere else for, you know, a pre-party, it's like 2 a.m. and I'm still wrapping Christmas gifts. You know, the good thing is my daughter's 15 now and wakes up at 11. And I have my mother calling going, when are you picking me up? You know, versus a child waking up at 6 wanting to open presents. But it's in that moment that it's all done. Everything's done. No one's asking me for anything, calling me. It's just there. And I just love to sit and watch my Christmas tree in the dark. Mm-hmm. And all the lights are on. And yeah, that's just my moment of, like, I'm in a joyful space. It's peaceful. You know what? Hope is in there. I think she ties it all up together. And yeah, like, I kind of love where I am and whatnot. And I think we can have those moments throughout our life by, again, focusing on these four promises that were given in following these teachings. You know, it wasn't ever about, you know, taking over the world in one way. It was about, hey, I'm reconciling you with God, and, you know, God's about love. We talked about that, you know, the three main laws: love yourself, love your neighbor, love God. And so again, how do we precipitate that? And these other three are sort of friends. I think they're all friends in that. So Where maybe we can just go through the first two, because I think we're hoping to sort of do this over two, because those are four big subjects. Yeah. And so, yeah, so let's talk about hope.
So what is hope?
I don't know. I think sometimes I feel hopeful in some things, but then when it doesn't fall through, I'm shattered. But is that my hope being broken, or is that my trust that something didn't go through, or my expectation?
What is the hope in the sense of the Advent? Like, what are we hoping for the Savior? Or are we hoping for, like, what are we hoping for?
It's bringing hope into the world.
Bring hope. Oh, okay. Okay.
Right? Because when you don't have hope, it's just pure, okay, kind of like depression.
So is hope almost as a, almost like a virtue in a certain way, where you're like, you want to make hope part of your spiritual being?
Yeah, the virtues are faith, hope, and charity, right? And hope is a big part of that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So again, like, you know, and maybe that's, so sort of part of it is like, we see all these sort of negative messages in the world, you know, and for me, like, yeah, it's easy just to get on that bandwagon. The world sucks and there's
heads. But the world does suck. And sorry, but the world sucks all the time.
But like, there's good stuff too.
Of course there is.
Right? Like, you know, a kid, you know, accomplishing that thing. Like, I think I learned more about hope as I'm sort of thinking out loud is when my daughter was really young, you know, and it wasn't hoping for Santa and all that stuff. And but it was just this elation, that this purity that was just like, oh, you know, well, or again, this excitement around hope, you know, well, I really hope this happens, or, you know, and it's not like a wishing thing. I think it's an affirmation, like when we put those affirmations out into the world, right? Like, I'm really hoping this is going to move in this direction. Or if it doesn't, I hope for this or for that. Because if we stop hoping, then we're just giving in to negativity.
Okay. So is hope kind of a counterbalance to temptation in a certain way? Like, instead of being tempted by things that are more negative, you can counter it by having hope into something more positive.
I never thought about it that way.
That's kind of what it feels like to me a little bit.
I don't know, because I think there can be positive temptations too, right? Oh. Like, that's a whole other conversation. I think negative temptation is what sort of brings us away from that place of love, right? Like, am I going to hurt myself emotionally or mentally or physically, you know? Like, I think that's when temptation is bad.
Yeah, but when you lose hope, then I could see it as, if you don't have hope, it's easier to succumb to negative forces and temptation. Yeah. That's kind of like how I see it. Like, they're not necessarily reverse sides of a coin, but I could see how they kind of counterbalance themselves each other.
And so this bishop that I had this conversation with about Advent, he sort of talked about hope and how he was with a parishioner. And she's like, I have no hope in anything anymore.
Oh, God.
And he was like, oh, that's, well, how do we kind of deal with that? And so she, you know, continued her story and their talk. And he's like, okay, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold on to hope for you. And you know, when you really can't feel it, come find me. And just, we'll be in a place together. But until you're ready to take on, because again, you have to be vulnerable for hope, right? Like, if you have that sick loved one and you're hoping they're going to recover, but maybe they don't, you know, does that mean God's abandoned you? No. It means that we're living beings. You know, that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt any less, you know, but that's when so I think that's the fragility of hope, is because if we have hope in something that might be like crazy hope, and then we think it's a miracle, right? So it goes the other way too.
Yeah.
I think hope kind of just gives us groundedness, right? Like, here's where I'm at. There's some negative stuff all around me. And through my faith, I know I can move forward.
So how do you grab on to hope in, like, I can't help it. Like, I look at the world that's around us, especially right now. Like, there's these crazy wars happening. There's that, all that crap going on in Palestine, even though technically there was a ceasefire, but the ceasefire is not working. You see the spectacle south of the border. You see they were getting ready to bomb Venezuela. Like, it's nuts right now. It feels crazy. Like, how do we counterbalance that? Like, that's where, like, spiritually for me, like, it's very challenging, you know? And when I see all of these things happening around the world, that's where I'm like, it doesn't make sense from a, mm-hmm. from that perspective.
Yeah. Right. And then we always look to sort of God to be like, why aren't you doing anything about this? Right. You're the big puppet master. You're all knowing, you're omnipresent, and you're doing diddly squat. But we have free choice. These aren't God's choices. These are people's choices. You know, so how do we do that? Well, I don't know how to help the rest of the world. I know there's organizations who are. So you know what? Maybe my hope comes in to supporting one of those organizations, even if it's just one thing. Then I know I've helped in one way, and I'm growing that capacity in one way. I think we are sort of over inundated with news, and not that we shouldn't be informed. But I think it, you know, that's where the doom scrolling and all that can kind of come in. I think we, again, also have to balance the intake that we have. And when we're feeling, hey, this is upsetting me, okay, let's take a step back and either how's that thing that I'm helping with? Or, you know what, maybe I can't help Venezuela, but you know what? I know I have the gifts and I can go help that kid in an after school program. So that at least here, I know I'm building hope into somebody else. So for me, that's how I counter it, you know. I don't know. I think it's just in the heart, too. Like, I've felt those moments where I'm like, I have no hope. I don't want to be here anymore on this physical plane or in any way. But there's just, I think that's where my faith comes in. There's just that sort of small, quiet voice or presence that is just like, you're loved, you know, and keep going. Even if it's one step, just keep going. And it might not be the perfect step, but it's a step.
So is that how that hope carries you into peace, which is the second theme of the Advent? Like how, like, because they're kind of, in that context we just discussed, like, yeah, they're kind of related in the sense, like, they're very good friends. They're really good friends.
Right. So, right. And so for me, it's, you know, when there's all the news happening, the family stuff happening. Like, so my favorite thing to do is watch bad TV with my aunt when she was with us. And because all the drama was over there, you know, you can eat your popcorn and no one get mad at you. My teammates that I love so much and my close-knit group of friends can be so full of drama. And part of me would be hurt because I wasn't included in the day-to-day of that drama anymore. Like, I was feeling rejected. But now I'm like, I'm kind of glad I can eat the popcorn on the side and just listen to all your guys' drama. Because what's the purpose? What's the purpose of the chaos? And I had a good life coach that had said, you know, you are where you want to be. And you know what? You like the drama, Jess. You like all that stuff. So here you're complaining about it and you're miserable in it. So In the first time I tried to do like these four promises, I was like, you know what? I don't need to hear about that. What brings me peace? You know what? It's having a games night with my friends or my family. It's, you know what? Drinking hot chocolate, doing some embroidery, like just not having that outside chaos around. And yeah, there'll be times now I step into it because I still love my peer groups, and I'm not saying I'm any better because I can cause the drama too. But it's taking that moment to be like, do I need to create this chaos? Like, is it conflict? Is it emotional distress? Or is it something to bring peace? Because sometimes you have to move through that conflict. Conflict isn't unhealthy. It's just a lot of times misunderstanding, or again, not understanding someone else's expectation. So for me, yeah, I think it's being conscious of that. It's kind of like Yellow Car, right? Have you ever played Yellow or Punch Buggy?
Oh, Punch Buggy, yes, of
right?
course.
Yeah. That's why yellow punch buggies are worth two, by the way, just saying, because of Yellow Car. But you don't really notice how many yellow cars are out there until you start looking for them, or SUVs or whatever kind of car you want to do, right?
Well, it's like when you buy a car. Do you ever notice, like, whenever you buy a car, you see that car all over the place?
Exactly. Never knew it before.
When I bought my Mazda years ago, I never noticed Mazda. And then all of a sudden, I saw Mazdas everywhere. Then when I bought my Kona, I see Konas everywhere. And I never realized, like, how popular they were. Now I think it's the most popular car in the world. It's probably not. But, like, I just see them everywhere now.
Exactly. And I think, you know, hope and peace come in with those boundaries. Right. So I know if I spend too much time with certain family members, I'm going to be all stressed out and like not happy. And so, you know what, to know that I don't want to be in that negative space where then I am now snapping at my daughter or my husband or again in those colleague groups where I'm just unhappy, and we'll get into joy the next time. But like, where no, it's not comfortable. And I don't mean pushing envelopes, I'm not going to do it. So like this week, I celebrated my wedding anniversary. We had a great time. You were there. It was fun.
I did. And I had a great time.
And then for me.
Ate way too much food.
I did that too. But for me, because my family always pushed my birthday, for me, that's the most important day for me because I do a lot for the community. And I'm like, can people just take 2 minutes for me not to remind them to wish me happy birthday? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, it's great. The Facebook things are good. And I totally use that too because I won't remember people's birthday. But I don't just send a happy birthday. I'll text or I'll give a call, you know, because it's like, you know what? I'm taking 2 minutes to acknowledge you. So I figure I do enough for the world. Can someone just like.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a dangerous game to play. I feel the exact same way. I feel like there's a certain social circle that I'm in that if I don't make the calls or I don't make the plans or I don't organize the thing, we will not see each other.
No.
And it's this group of friends that like there's like six of us. And if I don't make the thing, like, we will go 5 years without talking to each other, seeing each other. And then, but if I do it, they will all show up.
Exactly.
And sometimes I get annoyed that, like.
We're not like, very peaceful in those moments, right?
But
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
If I told all my friends off 2 years ago, I was done. I was, I had all bailed on my birthday. They all bailed. We bought a house. We were so excited, you know. So we try to have people over over the holidays because it's busy and everybody just, like, tanked on it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, so vexed. So after this telling off, getting into the story, this friend was just like, okay, what next week's your birthday? What are we doing? And I'm like, oh, no, whatever you want. I'm like, oh, you're seeing me 25 years later. Thanks.
Yeah.
But part of me was just like, I'm just going to stay home. Like,
which is
you're
fine.
Saying.
Which is fine.
Like, if you want to come over, cool. But you know what?
But once
making any effort,
you know, once in a while, it's just nice to have someone acknowledge that part of you, like, because I know, like, and I know this is moving away from where you grew up has a certain impact on your life that you don't realize until you've moved away, kind of thing.
Yeah,
like, because I have like here, the people who are my friends here. Are largely friends I've made as adults, as opposed to the people you grew up with, your family, your child's high school friends, all those people. So things like birthdays and Christmases and holidays are very different in that sense. So I made peace a long time ago that like those events for me here were going to be Gabriel driven. You know, like if I want something to happen, like I can't rest on my laurels. Like I have to be at the forefront of doing it. But it does kind of, you know, have it, like you can't help but wonder, like.
Right. Until they realize it. So that happened last year for me. And I know we're sort of off the subject of Advent, but I think.
Well, we're not because it's about making peace. Like that's kind of how I see it. Like you have to. To me, like Christmas especially, is one of the things that I had to make peace with is that aspect of it that like what I was saying earlier, like not expecting the Hallmark Christmas or the capitalist point of view and making it what I want.
Exactly.
Out of it.
Anticipating. I want to anticipate having this versus feeling into this expectation, right? Like it's switching the right. And so getting back to the peace thing, I think as an incident happened where one of my friends was finally saw and felt from another outing that we were all trying to get together with that kind of fell apart. And so she turns to me, she goes, "This is what you're talking about." And I'm like, "Yeah, this is exactly what I'm talking about." She goes, "Gotcha." And you don't want people to go through these things, but sometimes you kind of have to get into that. But yeah, I think that's very much sort of a peaceful way, or, you know, you sort of conjured up, like, I thought I was missing, like, I came from Alberta when I was 9 and was in this divided cross-country household. And so didn't spend a lot of time back home because my dad couldn't afford it. I'd be out there for maybe a month in the summer. And I had this whole idea about Calgary and that home and that, you know, and I remember telling my mom as a kid, no, I have 2 homes, Montreal and Calgary, and I'm very fine with that. And so 2 summers ago, the husband, kid, and I decided to go to Alberta. They wanted to see where I grew up. But it wasn't the home I remember. And it wasn't because the friends weren't there.
Never is.
It wasn't that. Like, I was at my school and I was like, it feels weird to be here and to have this life into that life. And then we went to my childhood home and I was like, we have to go.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're going to get out and walk around. I'm like, no, we have to go. Yeah. Why? I'm like, this is not a good place to be. This is not a good place to be. And not because I didn't have like a great childhood in some ways, but there was some trauma. And I'm like, no. And so we ended up leaving, huge cry. But even then, sort of going around to the other places and sort of building this new memory with my now family, there was peace in that. I was like, yeah, okay, that's at rest now.
It's interesting. I think there's a reason why they say you can never go home again. Because like I have the very similar reaction going home. Like going home for me, in quotation marks, is going back to where I grew up. And every time I go back there, like, it's home, but it's not.
Not.
It's not. Like, it's just not. Like, at this point, I've been here 30 years. I've been here longer than I ever was where I grew up. It doesn't, I don't know, like, it's such a weird thing to have to describe.
But then, so are we in holiday seasons really just trying to, like, like we talked about replicating a sense that's from out there.
Mm.
But are we trying to maybe replicate that one good Christmas or that one great sort of feeling we had?
No. I don't know, because I didn't grow up in a family that had that one good Christmas. So I've mentioned it before, like Christmas to us was not about the Hallmark Christmas. It was not really about the gifts. You mentioned earlier about like Christmas drama around Christmas. We had our fair share of drama around Christmas. And to make a long story short, I had a brother who was hospitalized on, I think it was Christmas Eve, that he was like evac'd on at the Children's, and he came close to dying. And I was really, really young. I was, I think, 10 or 11. I don't remember exactly. So that left a mark. And it changed the meaning of Christmas to use a phrase that's way overused. It changed the meaning of Christmas for our family. So I know that I'm not in a quest to recreate those memories because I don't really have them. Like to us, Christmas was at most a dinner with the grandparents or a breakfast up with the grandparents or the aunts and aunties and uncles and the cousins and like, it was mostly about that, which I think is good, but I don't have particularly warm fuzzies about Christmas. So that could be the other sense of like the whole peace thing is like, I see all these people and all their grand plans and all this, and I just think like,
yeah, like, so exactly. So it's like kind of strip it back, right? Like let's peel all those layers off. Like last week, we were talking about taking your training wheels off. We're taking a lot of things away, right? Like, but getting back to that core.
Being down.
What? And I, again, that's what Advent is about, getting back to reality, our own sort of spiritual reality, yeah. And going, okay, the world has taken me in all these places. I'm back to the beginning of the story of Jesus's life and whatnot in this crazy miracle of, you know, a pregnant woman on a donkey traveling many miles to be like, all these ways, and you know, but like, you know, and then having to leave really fast because people were chasing them, like, you know, refugees in Egypt and all these things. And to kind of go, you know what, but for that one moment, you know, that family had peace in this new configuration, you know, and sort of the hope of what's to come. Like, yeah. No, there's something great coming. Not too sure what it is. And maybe that's what hope is when you're sort of asking about hope. It's not labeling it, just sort of being in that sort of ambiguous space of not having the expectation, but I know something good's coming.
Yeah. Excellent. Hope and peace. What more could we want for?
Give peace a chance, John Lennon.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening once again. If you want to support us, the easiest way to do it is to subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/Bear Belief, or you can just search for Bear Belief. We should come up. You could go on our website, bearbelief.ca. All the links are there, and you can listen to the podcast there as well. And you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and it'll just magically appear in your podcatcher. Amazing, this technology. So it was great talking to you again, Jessica.
Thank you. I always enjoy.
Hope and peace, and we'll see you again in a couple of weeks.